Greetings, beloved. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it in Jesus' name. I want to tell you that happy Valentine's Day to those who are celebrating with your loved one. Still in prayer for those who are without power in our county and all across the country. Thankful, Lord, that you have been mindful of us to keep us. We thank you, Lord, for another day of worship. We normally at 1479 Deep Creek Church Road in Burlington, North Carolina, but today, due to a power outage, we're going to live stream the Word of God from home. I pray that God will speak to you and say something that will encourage you and keep you going in this time of political turmoil, this time of disease and medical trouble. God, we come today to worship you and to praise you. Father, we ask you now that you would grace us with your presence. Father, in the name of Jesus, if you would smile upon us one more time. Thank you, God, for saving grace and waking us this morning, God. And we ask you now, Lord, to cover, bless those who are sick, those who are shut in. We ask you, Lord, to touch the thing of love, those who may be without power. I pray, God, that you will spread your power, your love, and your joy to be able to heal them. Then, Father, I pray that you will bless this message, God, that someone may hear something that may change their life, that the unsaved may become saved, and those who have drifted from you, Lord, will return back to you safely. We love you today, God. We honor you and we praise you. I ask you to give me strength and power in Jesus' name. That the faithful of God say, amen. This morning's scripture that I want to read a portion of this text to you before we start. Meet me in Psalm 46, 46th chapter of the book of Psalms. Speaks of the faithfulness of God. Speaks of God's refuge and God's strength. Bible says in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, and of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Today, as we go into the Word of God for instructions and teaching, I invite your attention to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings. The Old Testament book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, I will read verses 1 through 6 from the King James Version of the Bible. And the Bible reads thusly, and the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us, but other translations too small for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell. He answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. He cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee, and he put his hand and took it. I want to speak to you from a subject this morning, getting back the cutting edge of God, getting back the cutting edge of God. That word cutting edge means when someone does something that you may be doing, But because they have the cutting edge, they have the ability to do it better and with better quality than you do. In other words, they do it with a new vigor and vim in God. In medical technology, the cutting edge has changed. Most of us, you see me with glasses on, but most people can have laser surgery now. And back in the day, there was invasive surgery, but today they can take a laser and surgically touch your eyes, and some people are restored back to 20/20 or as close to 20/20 as possible. Some people who have medical surgery like back surgeries or shoulder surgeries, where they would get a cut and have an incision anywhere from 2, 4 to 6 inches, maybe 8 inches, to repair ligaments, bones, and muscles in their body. But yet today, they can take a laser and pinpoint the actual spot where you are injured and repair you. And sometimes there's no sign of surgery, or there's a small pinpoint sign of surgery. But because of the cutting edge technology, we are able to do things at a better, stronger, and a faster rate. Well, here in this text, you will find where we're going to talk about the cutting edge. Here in this text, it has Elisha as the teacher. Elijah is the teacher of the prophets, of the sons of the prophets. He's a student of the most powerful prophet, one of the most powerful prophets in the Old Testament, Elijah, the man who stopped rain by his voice and faith in God for 3.5 years. That same Elijah who Elijah saw go up into heaven, he received a double portion of the strength and power that God had for Elijah. Elisha had this power. Now, Elijah in this text is the teacher of the schools of prophets, because of his lineage with Elijah, and because of the power that God had put on him, and the people saw the connection of God, they allowed their sons to go to the school of Elisha. Now, look at this. Most people today just look at this text just for ministers, just for preachers. But this text is for everyone who's trying to walk in the Christian age, in 2021, in the 21st century, where it's pretty hard to live a righteous life. When you see all forms of evil and indignation, and you are trying to live right and to do right, you need to have the cutting edge of the Holy Spirit to allow you to do some of the things that God wants you to do. Because Zechariah 4:6 says it like this: it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So here in this text, Elijah, the sons of the prophet, came to Elijah. When he comes to Elijah, he says in verse 1, he says, behold now, the place where we dwell is too small. In other words, the people were sending their children to Elijah, and the school that they had outgrown it. Elijah, then it goes to the man of God. That's the first thing we need to do. Go to God when you have an issue. Stop trying to figure out things on your own, and allow the men and the women of God who are called to seek God for instruction to give you instruction so you can live a better life. Stop trying to reinvent the wheel. So Elijah says, verse 2, he says, let us go the school of the prophet. We pray thee unto the Jordan. That's the Jordan River. The Jordan River was wide. The Jordan River had expanse and land on both sides of it. So the prophet, the school prophets, they want to go to the Jordan. And they said, take hence every man a beam and let's make a place where we may dwell. This is what he asked the man of God, or Elijah. And then not only did he ask Elijah for the blessing to go, he asked Elijah to accompany him to go along with him. Because you have to understand, these young men did not have a proven track record, but Elisha did. Elijah had performed many miracles, amen. Took a stick and put it in stew, what was poisonous, and made it feed hundreds of men. Elijah had power. Elijah did twice as many miracles as Elijah, but yet he still respected the ministry of Elijah. And he relied on the power of God. So here Elijah is teaching. Let me get on with it. This man of God has blessed them to go. And they said now they are at work in the field. They take the axes. They borrow the axes. That's what I want you to understand first, that the axe were borrowed. And I'm going to get to that later, but the axes were borrowed because they didn't have them. They borrowed the axe. They go to the Jordan, and they go to the wooded area, and they began to do the work. And then you will find out later that they cry out. Something happens. Everything is progressing. They have cleared the land. They begin to build with the timber of the land. And all of a sudden, somebody cries out. In chapter 5, they said, "Alas, master." Now, the problem is, it looked like progress was going on. You could still hear the other axes hitting the wood. Amen. But this one man cries out and said, "I've lost my axe head." Now, I can imagine, like Elijah, if somebody said that to me, I would say to them, you still see the progress going on. You still see work being done. Amen. So, what's the problem? But the man said that the axe was borrowed. In Exodus 22 and 4, it tells us, as children of God, if we borrow something from a person, be it a property or be it an animal or be it something, if we injure it, we must restore it. If it dies, we must restore it to full restitution. That is the law of God. So this son of the prophet understood the fact that he had to restore what he had borrowed from someone else. Now I'm saying all this to say it like this. When Elisha came and the axe head was in the water, the axe head was a symbol of something that was needed to finish the task or accomplish what the schools of the prophet want to do, that's build a school. They borrowed it, they prayed for it, they asked for it, and now they've lost it in the water. And I got to tell you today that you must understand, and I must understand, that God has given us resources and things to use for his glory, to build up his church, to build up the community, to build up this world. God has given it up to us, but some of us have lost it. Some of us have lost it somewhere. And you say, "Well, preacher, how do you know that it's been lost?" I'm glad you asked that question. The axe head, like I said, symbolizes the fact that it was used for the service. Now, the first thing is, in this text, is that they lost their power for service. That's just like somebody today. They have beautiful light fixtures in their home. They have beautiful ornaments for lights. They have lamps in their house. They have switches on the wall. But yet, because they don't have power, they don't have lights. And without God, you have no power. So now this axe head means, number one, that he lost the power of service. And a lot of people has lost the power for service because they don't desire to do the work of the Lord. The gospel is dull to them. Singing is dull to them. And everything is a complaint to them because they have lost their power for service. Even men and women who have homes and children have lost their power for service because they tried to do it without God. They got tired, they got fatigued, and they walked away from things. Businessmen who started businesses, who very successful, and yet now they've lost their power for service because they thought they did it on their own, and yet they don't recognize that it was God who prophesied them to get where they were. Same problem we have with politicians today, preachers and others who think that they are doing it on their own. And when they lose their power for service, you see all manner of evil creep in because they have lost their power for service. But I just want to tell you today that the Holy Spirit is the power for service. See, no one can do the work without the axe head. Now, let me take you back to this text while I move forward. They lost their power for service. It looked like the work was still going. In other words, other people had axes that they were hitting against the wood, so you heard that happening. But the person, some people are hitting the tree, and they're hitting the tree, but they don't have an axe head. They just got an axe handle. And what you're doing is you're just making a sound, but you're not making anything happen. If you take an axe handle without an axe head, I don't care how hard you hit it. I don't care how fast you hit it. I don't care how frequent you hit it. I'm telling you, the tree will not come down. You got to have an axe head on it. Matter of fact, the axe head has to be sharp. I don't know about you, but have you ever tried to cut something with a dull knife? You just wasting your time. You might as well just take your time and sharpen that knife, and then you can slice right through whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. And that's what the prophet was trying to get over to them that when you lose your battle for service and when you lose your axe head, you've lost your power. Now, let me say it like this and work with the church world. There are folks who still are coming to service. And when they come to service, well, let me back up. I'm getting older now. I don't have time to play church. When I come to God's house, whether I'm the preacher or not, I expect the power of God to move. If I'm sick, I expect a healing. If I'm bound by something, I expect deliverance to come in the house, because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So I pray now that somebody under the sound of my voice will begin to walk in and find out that you've lost power and connect back with God and allow God to lift you up out of yourself, amen, and illuminate your mind and show you that he still has power to restore your service. And some people, they don't feel the singing no more. They don't feel the preach no more. And then they'll say stuff like those people there, or they'll say something like, we used to do it this way, or we need to do it that way. And with no consultation of God. In other words, they took their eyes off of the Lord. That's how they lost service. Let me give you some examples and I'll move on. The people lost their service. This is an example of someone who's lost their service. Peter, who walked with the Lord, who was willing to cut a man's ear off, fight and defend for the Lord, who told God, I'll never leave you no matter what happens. And y'all know what happened? When Jesus got arrested, Peter was in the courtyard watching them march the Lord across the way. And the people said, I know you. You was with him. And he said, I didn't know him. And he did what Christ said he was going to do. He denied him three times. As a matter of fact, he started cussing. Amen. When he got to the back, he said, I don't know the man. And he lost his cutting edge. David did the same thing. Powerful king. He was the ruler that brought Judah and Jerusalem together. And yet when he saw Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, on top of the roof, and he desired to lie with her, he lost his anointing and power. But y'all know what? He didn't know that he lost his anointing and power. Nathan the prophet had to go to David and let him know, you have lost your power. Solomon, his son, lost his power because he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. In other words, he took his eyes off the Lord, and he thought because he had money, because he had prosperity, and because he had access to things, and he was the king, that he didn't need to walk the way God told him to walk, humbly before him, always coming to him before you make a decision. So Solomon lost his power. So I want to ask you today, have you lost your power? You must recognize when you lost your power. Now, let me give you an example. Now, if you lose your power, I told you, it's the opposite of the cut edge. It means that your axe head is dull and it needs to be sharpened. And I just gave you three examples of men who lost their cutting edge. But there's one man who kept his cutting edge. That man was John the Baptist, who was preaching out in the Jordan. And the Bible said that John the Baptist, while preaching out in the Jordan, in Matthew 3 and 10, it said he laid the root, or the axe to the root. In other words, when you preach the word of God with power, those who want to live for God will stand, and those who don't will be cut down. You don't have to do anything. So John the Baptist had a sharp axe. Here in this world, you think that government is out of control. We know that religion is out of control. We know that the business world is out of control. So rather than service now, we want to get over on people. But the axe is laid at the root. Y'all don't believe me? You think now that because of the government, they have power. We watch trials of impeachment. We watch different conservatives fighting liberals and all these things going on. And nobody has mentioned the Lord yet. Amen, somebody. But Paul and Silas is proof. When they went to, in the book of Acts, they went to Thessalonica, and they got arrested because what they preached messed with the money of the businessmen, threatened the power of the government. And y'all know what happened? They brought up charges on Paul and Silas and said, these men are a threat They are terrorists. Amen. They are a threat to the government. And the governors want to know, what are these men using? Amen. What weapons do they have? They said, well, they just got this word. They just got the word of God. Because Paul said the word of God was power unto salvation. In other words, to the saving of the soul. And then they said, all they got is a word. All they got is a piece of paper with some words on it, but it's turning the world upside down. And if we would get our cutting edge back, we could turn the world upside down. Now, I'm going to tell you like this, Hebrews 4 and 12, if you got your Bible, go there. Hebrews 4 and 12 said, for the word of God is quick and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Y'all know what a Ginsu knife is and how sharp it is and how much it cuts. You can go to Lowe's and you can go to Home Depot and you can buy an axe, but you can get a Gutenberg axe, which is sharp, amen. It's sharp like a sushi knife, amen. And it costs lots of money because it cuts real sharp. They say if you cut a tree with that type of Swiss axe, that it will cut a chunk out of a tree the size of a double whopper with cheese. With one stroke, that's the size of a chunk of wood that will come out with this sharp axe. So I want to tell you now that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, quick and powerful. Look, not only that, it pierces. It divides the soul and the spirit. It divides the joints from the marrow, and it discerns the intent of the heart. In other words, the word of God can tell you whether somebody is evil or whether they are good because you know them by their fruits. So now the first thing is, it's a loss of power of service when your axe head is dull and you lost the cutting edge. Second significant thing is that it was borrowed. Because it said, oh, last master, verse 5, it was borrowed. And I told you that that's significant. But I want to tell you today that whatever you have and whatever I have, it comes from God. Your spouse, your mate, is a gift of God. Your children are a gift of God. The money that you have is a gift of God. The car you drive is the gift of God. The suit you have, the socks you have, the t-shirt you have, the food in your refrigerator, it all belongs to God. Because the earth is the Lord, Psalm 24, and the fullness thereof, and we that dwell here in it, we all belong to God. So in other words, people will take credit for the church itself. How the church can't make it without them, and how what we've done for the church. I'm the greatest preacher, so the church is building because of me, and because I sow into the church, it couldn't make it without me, and because I sing like a songbird, the choir couldn't make it without me. But I'm here today to tell you that you cannot do anything without God. Amen, somebody. The church needs prayer today to understand that the power of God and the prayer of God will only come to give us the cutting edge of God. I've had people in the church, I haven't pastored that long, but I've pastored long enough. When people get another job and then they walk away from the church, amen, and then they go out there on that job and they're making money and they're too busy for God. Some people get married and then they drift away from God and then they go into their mate until divorce and trouble come into their home and then they run back to God. Amen, somebody. Some people will get a degree, amen, and move up in the corporate world and forget about God. But I just told you, I pastored long enough, who people told me that after they had been to college, they said the Bible is not real. They said Jesus is not real. They said I don't need the church. I'm educated now. But when trouble comes, they run back to the church. I've had to pray for people who told me, preacher, I don't want to hear you. Matter of fact, God may have not called you. I know some of y'all done blessed some people before, and then when they get on their feet, they talk about you. But ain't it funny how when they land on their back with tubes in the nose, they want to call you in to have prayer for them because they lost their cutting edge. And they forgot that whatever you have is borrowed. It belongs to God. Nothing that you have belongs to you. It all belongs to God. That's why I tell you that the money you have, if you will turn around and bless God and give it to God the way he said it. Stop listening to what people said about tithing and blessing and doing the work of the church, or churches are getting over. Yes, some of them are, but you got the word of God to discern who's real and who's not, who's doing service and who's not. When you give back to God, the Bible says he'll open up the windows of heaven. He'll pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. So today I want you to ask yourself, have you lost your power for service? Then after you assess that, I want you to look back and realize that everything I have belongs to God. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Second thing is that it takes power. And it takes a sharp cutting edge to get the work done. In other words, when you begin to cut the way God wants you to cut, the manifestation of God will come. But the problem is that some of us have lost our cutting edge, and the problem is not that we lost it, but some people don't even know they lost it. I'm a living witness. When you lose your cutting edge and you don't recognize the fact that you lost your cutting edge. Look at the text, if you think I'm playing. Verse 5 says, but as one was felling a beam, he's working out the beam, the axe head fell in the water, and he cried, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Y'all get that? It didn't belong to him. That's the first thing you must realize. But then, verse 6, and the man of God said, God always got somebody with the word. He says, where fell it? Or show me where you lost it. And it said he showed in the place. That's the first thing you have to do. When you find out that you've lost your cutting edge, when you realize that that it was borrowed from the Lord, or that what you accomplished was accomplished through the work of the Lord, and what he gave you was borrowed. Amen, somebody. And it's telling you now, you have to show the Lord where you laid it. You have to remember how you lost it or where you lost it. You say, well, how I know that I lost it? You know you lost it when you keep talking about things of the past and you don't have vision for the future. You done lost your cutting edge. When you don't desire the word of God, you've lost your cutting edge. When you read the word of God, but you won't obey the word of God, you've lost your cutting edge. When you doubt the church, when you don't listen to the music of God, the praise service, the hymns don't move you no more like they used to, you have lost your cutting edge. But I told you there's always a man of God who will come and show you what you've done. Amen, somebody. And I want to tell you today before I move to this last point, don't never forget it, that one of these days death has a warrant with your name on it. This body belongs to God, and one day you're going to have to give up the ghost and go back to him, because he's going to evict you from this thing right here. I don't care what you got. I don't care where you came from. I don't care how long you've been in the church. And you must want to come back to God. You must want to live for him, and then after it's all over, live with him. And you have to get your cutting edge back. So here it is, the Holy Spirit and the power. Look at it. Here, it says, verse 6, the man of God said, show me where you lost it. And it said he showed him the place, and the man of God took a stick and cut it and cast it thither, and the iron did swim. Now, Michael Thompson can't tell you how the man of God took a stick and touched the iron and made it like a magnet, and the iron floated to it. But I can tell you that God still performed miracles. God can take a hard-hearted person and draw them to him. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you can't come to God unless he draws you to him. And when God draws you to him, you must come back, connect to God for that service. And then the axe head did swim. Ain't that something, how you sink and you float and you can't make it with God? And then all of a sudden you cry out to God, Lord, save me. And God will pick you up, turn you around, put your feet on solid ground, and you will be able to stand. Verse 7 said, therefore he said, take it up to thee. I'm gone. And he said, he put his hand out and he took it. In other words, God's not going to do all the work. The man of God got the axe head out the water, but the prophet had to take his hand and put it out to receive what God said. That's for somebody today. I want you to stretch out your hand this morning to God and receive God's joy. Some of you lost your joy, but God got joy unspeakable. You need to reach back and take your peace back, because God got peace that surpasses all understanding. You need to stretch out your hand. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Look to the hills from which cometh your help. All your help comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and the creator of earth. Today, get your cutting edge back. Join in with somebody who teaching the word of God. Join in with the saints of God to build the kingdom of God. We're in a different time and different way. Some people say, well, technology is the future. No, technology is right now. And those of you who refuse to link on, y'all gonna be left behind. Your axe head gonna get dull. Cause faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So what, I can hear it on my own? No, just like the sons of the schools of the prophet. You need a preacher, and you can't hear without the preacher. And the preacher can't preach unless he's been sent and gifted and anointed by the Holy Spirit to do the work. So if there's one today, I ask you to give your life to the Lord today. Live different for the Lord. Your life will never be the same. You don't have to come to Archer's Grove, but go to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and get up under a pastor who will love you, shepherd you, and nurture you. Amen, somebody, until you get better. Find out that you lost your service. Find out that everything you have has been borrowed. Amen. And then get back in the game and show the Lord where you laid down your joy, your peace, your happiness, and your salvation. I pray today that God will bless you the rest of the day. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you until we meet again. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for everything, God, you allowed to be said or done, not just here, but all those who've stood and preached today, all those who've sung the songs of Zion. God, I pray that you will continue to give them strength. God, I pray that someone's heart has been changed. I pray that someone's mind has been changed. Someone's faith has been increased. I ask you, God, to still remember those who are sick and shut in, those who are families who are riddled by COVID. Bless those first responders. Bless those who are in the ER working, doctors and nurses, God, in the hospitals coming in and out to give service. I pray that you would give them strength. Then, God, I ask that you would move from heart to heart and breast to breast, that we would be more like you, to learn how to treat each other. Love you, Lord, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. I thank you, I praise you, and I give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Let the faithful of God say amen. And now my prayer for you is that the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all until we meet again. Amen.